Good evening. Great to see you all. And welcome to all those who've been camping. I understand some have been camping. Yeah. Great to see you here. Was that literally camping or? Yeah, okay. Well done. Impressed. It's great to be here. As Margie said, we do want to thank you so much for having us here for this weekend. And it's been great to meet up with many, to share. Thank you so much. I feel a little overdressed, and I do feel a little bit hot, actually, under all this. But this is, for those who weren't here this morning, this is Chadian. Chadian Arabic dress. Well, it's not a dress, it's man's wear. And so I should have a turban, really, on top, but being a bit bald doesn't stay on very well. And really, we should all be seated on mats on the ground. We should all be sitting there cross-legged. But I'm very pleased that I can stand because I always find it very difficult with my knees sitting on the ground like that. But one of those things. So this is supposed to be Mission Partners Weekend. So that's why there's this cross-cultural aspect to it. Margie's just read from 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 to 8. And I want us to think about, there's been quite a bit said already, but I want us to focus on the importance of prayer in mission. So let's just pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you so much for this beautiful day, this beautiful evening. And thank you that we can meet together in your name. Thank you for the time of worship. Thank you for hearing about Olivia and Jackie, where you've called them to go out to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for your word and for this opportunity just to look at it and see what it's speaking to us. So commit this time to you. Ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could go to the next slide. I was looking at your website for St. John's, and I was impressed to see that you have this in your identity and purpose statement. So St. John's exists to know Jesus better and to make Jesus better known. That's a great statement, isn't it? And then you've also got there as part of your purpose statement, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with our parish, our town, and the world beyond. So it's not, I guess you could have the moon or somewhere, couldn't you? But that's pretty big, isn't it? That's great. I'm really pleased about that. So you've got a good vision out there, good challenge for each one of you to get your teeth really stuck into. And good that there's plenty of you to get going. And that's something you have been doing, and I'm sure you will continue to do into the future. But I was pleased because it's quite similar in many ways to the WEC vision statement. And this says, to see Christ known, loved, and worshipped by the unreached peoples of the world. So there again, worldwide, which you'd expect with a mission agency. But it's to see Christ known, loved, and worshipped. So focusing on the Lord Jesus, and that's what we all want, isn't it? And then we have there also, if you look in amongst the first bits of on our core documents, it says prayer is a priority and integral to everything we do. And I think that would also be true for St. John's, praise the Lord. And it's been, I think when Olivia and Vicky were asked, what would you like us to do for you? It wasn't, I'd like you to give us, you know, free meals for the rest of our summer or anything like that. It was prayer. That's what we want. And so prayer is a priority. And I thought we could look at what the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonians that Margie read to us. But just before that, is it the next one? Yes. I just saw this on the internet. And prayer, we don't have to pay for it, We don't have to recharge it, do you? We can use it anywhere. The signal never goes. It's always there. Praise the Lord. So let's use it as much as we can. And prayer is, there's lots of aspects to prayer. That personal prayer, that linking with God, which I trust that we do each day. But then there's worshipping prayer. There's lots of different aspects. But I'm talking about intercessional prayer, asking the Lord for specific things. And when we look at Thessalonians, we see how Paul prayed for the Thessalonians. If we could have the next slide. If you look in Acts 16, 17, 18, you'll see how Paul had been in Philippi, came across. Remember how God called him, the team over, and they went to Philippi, and they witnessed there, they saw things happen, they had to leave. They went on to Thessalonica, and same thing happened there. They saw a little group come into being, but then there was riots, they had to leave, and they went on to Berea. Similar thing. In the end, they took Paul down to Athens, and there he spoke at the Areopagus, you remember? And then he went down to Corinth and met up with Aquila and Priscilla and got building tents for the St. John's young people's group so that they had something to camp in. And it was there that he prayed. And that it's from Corinth that he wrote the letter to the Thessalonians. And he wrote the letter after Timothy, who had sent to the Thessalonians to find out how they were doing. And when Timothy came back to say, yes, they're still going. That little group that you left there, new believers, they're still going. And they're not just surviving, they're doing well. And they're not just doing well, they're actually getting the word out. And that was so pleasing to Paul. And if you read on in Thessalonians, you can get a sense of that. But even in that passage that was read to us, Paul's pleasure in hearing that about this new church. And that's what I want us to think about first, is praying for new groups of believers. If we could have the... Yeah. So verse 3, he's saying, I've been praying for you, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a lovely verse. And then he goes on, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. So just that real pleasure of Paul. But there in verse 3, this praying for the new groups of believers. Maybe we could have the next slide. We've never actually started a church ourselves. We've worked with very new little groups of believers when we were in Guinea-Bissau doing discipleship and teaching. And now in our new role, we visit different little groups of new believers. Often they're Muslim background believers. And so we know something of that praying for these. They seem so fragile. How on earth can they keep going? And yet the Lord is with them. It's God's church. It's not my church, not the missions church. It's God's church, and God will take care of them, and he'll look after them. And he does. But there is that sense of they're children. They need to be nurtured and cared for. And you get that sense from Paul. I've been praying for you because you're important to me and special to me. He thanked God for them and remembered them. And it would be good if we can take those three things in verse 3. Praying for their walk and work of faith. And you might use this in praying for churches, you know. New churches that are just getting going or have been going for a number of years. Pray for their walk, their faith in the Lord. that they'd keep going, that keep strong, keep studying the Bible, that keep praying, keep meeting together, that they would build one another up in their faith. They would share their faith with family, with neighbors, friends. They would have a desire to extend God's kingdom. We visit a little church in Mozambique, right up in the north, near the Tanzania border. And there, it's a little group, Muslim background believers. They don't dress quite like this. Very poor, very simple people. But they would meet and they would sit on the floor on mats and have their service. And just very simple, and yet they have that desire to share the good news with others. And two of the men there, they've been to a nearby village. They have to get there by sailing boat. We went with them. And they've dug a well. They saw that they just were using a very simple spring for their water, dirty. And so they went there and said, we'll build you a proper well with cement rings, good cover, keep it clean, help the health of the village. So they did that as an act of Christian love to open doors so that they could share the gospel. They also go out to another village. Where I went with him on the back of his little motorbike. We only fell three times in the sand. And there, a little group of seven men. They have to be very careful. This is a Muslim context, you realize. But he's discipling these seven young men who are seeking the truth. And it just does me so much good to know these folk in this situation, just a new church, but with a real heart and desire to share the good news with others. So pray for the work of faith. And then he says, pray for the labor prompted by love. And you may say there's not a lot of difference between work and labor. But John Stott says, well, maybe the labor of love is more about relationships and how we relate with family, how we relate with our neighbors and people that we work with, the community. How do we work as a church community? The love that we show, people notice these kind of things. It's important. There's a church, a little church in the Gambia. Again, it's for Muslim background believers. And they realize just how important it is that they provide community for the new believers. If they've been kicked out of their families, rejected by the community, it's so important that they have one that they can come and be part of. And how are they going to survive if they can't get jobs? They're not allowed to farm their family land. So the community seek to help them with that. They get trained up as taxi drivers or as tailors, different ways that they can earn their living. And that at the same time, they're being discipled, trained up. The community helps with relationships with the families so that they can try and improve that relationship and hope that in the future there would be a bringing of the family connections again. And then when they feel that the folk are strong enough, they would send them out. Maybe give them a bit of help so they could start up a shop or get going with their tailoring business. They can live a normal life. But just that being able to provide that sense of community, that love that's needed. And then the third thing was about steadfastness, inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus, that they would stand firm in the face of persecution. And the Thessalonians, they were persecuted. They had a rough time. They needed the Lord to be with them in order to stand firm. But Paul and the others, they were praying for them, that they'd stand firm. And so much that we need to do that for people around the world. And we were hearing yesterday from John about the situation in Central Asia, just the persecution and the tough times it is for our brothers and sisters there. So they need our prayers, and let's be faithful about that. So pray for the small churches around the world that you know of. They need our prayers. Now I'd like us to see a short clip about Somalia. And I just putting this because we also need to pray for those places where there's virtually no church. And Somalia is one of those places, a very tough situation. And it's something that's on our heart as the Africa areas. How can we send workers to reach out to the Somali people in the Horn of Africa? So if we could just have that clip, please.
Father, we lift your holy name. We thank you that you are God. So you know Somalia, you know everything that goes on there. And we thank you for the nation of Somalia. We thank you for what has happened over the years. And we thank you that with your divine intervention, there is going to be restoration. Father, Somalia has gone through a lot. The precious, precious people of Somalia have seen suffering. They've seen pain, pain beyond human description. Oh, Somalia has been known as Africa's most failed nation. It's also known as the most lawless nation in the world. Somalia is a broken nation, Lord. They've seen lawlessness. They've seen terrorism. They've seen murders, heartless killings. Famine has killed thousands and so many things. They've seen pirates hijacking and ships on the high seas. They've seen so many negativity. It's a broken nation that needs divine restoration. Only you can intervene, Lord. We pray, Lord. We cry out for the beautiful nation of Somalia. The only God Almighty can intervene for political stability, for peace, for restoration, for healing, for a nation to be healed. We cry out for a nation to be healed, for a nation to know Jesus, and for your name to be exalted, that all that the enemy means for evil, you will turn it to good, Lord. We pray for the Somalis who are outside in the diaspora, who have scattered across the world, that they will come to know Jesus, and they will go back to their nations as missionaries. We pray also you send more missionaries, and at the end of the day, your name will be glorified, and Somalia shall be saved. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't know if you know about prayer casts. You can get these clips in different countries of the world where there are unreached peoples and points for prayer. So that's for Somalia, very much on our heart at the moment. Let's pray for the unreached areas of this world where they need the Lord to reach them. And then lastly, if we could pray for Christian workers, for missionaries, pray for Olivia and for Vicky going out, others that you know of. So important that we get behind them in prayer, as Paul did. Paul asks for prayer. If you look at the end of 1 Thessalonians, if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 25, you'll see that he asks for prayer. And if Paul needs to ask for prayer, I guess other Christian workers will be asking for prayer too. Brothers, pray for us. We need it. End of 2 Thessalonians. It's also asking for prayer. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. And at the end of Ephesians, if we could have the next slide too. Again, asking for prayer. Not asking for a comfy life. He's asking that when he has the opportunity, he would know what to say, and he would be courageous in sharing about the Lord Jesus. And I guess that's what we would pray and ask prayer for Christian workers, that they would have that they would have faith and passion and courage, and that they would have a close walk with the Lord in their relationships with also with other workers, with local people, and with non-Christians. The Lord would open up opportunities for them. So, yeah, we pray that for Olivia and Vicky. Lord, would be with them. And let's pray faithfully for them as they go out to serve over this summer. And we just want to finish with this verse now. The next one, is it? Here, Paul, he's saying that we depend on prayer. He says, he's delivered, the Lord, that is, has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answers to the prayers of many. And so there, he's saying, your prayers are important. I count on them. And many people around the world, they count on the prayers of churches. So let's be faithful, let's be fervent in prayer. Often, I think, missionary prayer meetings, some of them can be very exciting, very inspiring. Some of them, you just want to, you lose the will to live. Let's pray that there tend to be more like the first type, really inspiring and invigorating as we really seek the Lord and pray into situations and see situations changed. So may we be committed to prayer for fledgling churches. Pray for them. They need our prayers. Pray for those areas where there are no churches as yet. Pray that the Lord will bring churches into being, save people's lives, transform communities. And let's pray for Christian workers who are out there serving the Lord in this way. May we be faithful, really getting behind them. Prayer, so important. Let's just pray to finish. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Paul, for his commitment to prayer, the way that he relied on the prayers of others. Lord, help us that we would also be faithful in praying. When we tempted to do something else, find some other priority, or we give up in prayer, Lord, stir us up again so that we would get back to praying for those small churches, praying for those situations where there is no church, and praying for the workers who are out serving you. Lord, may we be faithful, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.